at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. It's not anything new for you and I as Christians, as we study the New Testament, to think about those early Christians in the first century. The church, the first 80 or 90 years, 100 years of the church, was when it was in existence after its establishment in AD 33. We know that many of those Christians went through some very hard and difficult times. They faced a lot of troubles and trials. Now they faced this, much of it was from the Jews who would not accept Christ, and they tried to persecute those that would accept Christ, and they tried to bring many of them back to the law of Moses. And some of this came from the Roman authorities also. In the area there in that first century, we know the Roman Empire was great. The Roman government was in power. It was a very powerful nation. Today we live in a powerful nation, the United States of America. It's been a world power for many years, and we live in a nation that professes to be a nation of freedom, and we're thankful for the freedom we have. Yet we see that during that time, during the Roman Empire, and when Christ came and was born and lived his life and chose his apostles and left his word through the Holy Spirit to those men, as those people were converted through the preaching of the gospel, believed it, repented of their sins, confessed Christ, and were baptized, they were added to the church. And so those Christians were following Christ. They were endeavoring to do God's will. They knew they had a responsibility to receive Christ and to receive his words and obey the words of the apostles. And so they were endeavoring to do that. And in that, many of those who preached the word of God, many of those who tried to teach the word of God, many of those who were just trying to serve God in worship and living their lives as a Christian were persecuted. They faced many trials and troubles. Today we see that even in our nation in which we live, there are those that are persecuted sometimes in various ways. It may be nothing more than some snide or very hard words that spoke against them because of their faith. It may be that people are persecuted because some of their family members turn against them because they're baptized into Christ. It may be that they face some persecution at work because there may be those that they work with that don't believe in God and don't want to live with good morals. So a Christian tries to live that way and tries not to curse or swear or dress immodestly, and then they catch a lot of flack from co-workers. It may be that in society or even in school or in business that people who are Christians who are endeavoring to do God's will and actually speaking in a good way, thinking on pure thoughts and saying good words and following God in their ways and their actions and their thoughts and their actions toward others and their intent in life, many times they are persecuted by other people. They're made fun of, they're ridiculed, or they make it hard for them in the workplace to get a promotion because of their faith in God. Not in every case, but in some cases, this happens, and we know it happens. And so as Christians today, we need to think about who we are, who God is. We're thankful we have this opportunity this morning to come together to worship God in spirit and truth, to sing songs and praise to Him and approach Him in prayer and study His Word, to lay by in store, to remember the Lord's death till He comes again, and to do the things God asks us to do in worship. But we're also thankful for the fact that we have an opportunity to live and get up in the mornings and breathe and move about and do God's will, even though some around us may not want us to. or would make fun of us if we do. And so Christians in the first century, they faced a lot of trials. They faced a lot of troubles. And so sometimes Christians today, even in the year 21-something, we see that there are those who have faith in God. Their faith is being tested. Not so much here, but around the world. You can read and you can see, and we have some here, such as Alden, that's visited several places around the world that can tell us that they don't even, can't even put a sign up out front. Or they know that if they make the wrong move, the government will come after them. Brother Abraham, that we support, you know, the area where he lives, Alton's in contact with him on a regular basis, and we receive monthly reports from Abraham, a faithful gospel preacher working there. And when we looked at those slides and those pictures and that Alton had of the work over there, and some of those people, those members of the church, and Abraham's work, but he lives in an area where the government is very strict, especially on people of a religious nature. And they're very strict on people like Abraham who receive support from this nation to that nation. Alan has to go through, jump some hoops and go through some ropes to be able to get the money sent there, and Donald to have, so that he can receive it in a certain way. If not, then they'll come after him. And so people today in some areas of the world are facing much more persecution, trials and troubles than we do. So this morning, let's take just a few minutes and be thankful for who we are, the blessings we have, and talk about the fact that, yes, those early Christians did face some trials and persecutions, and many of them very intense. Yet they were blessed so much to be able to follow God and have the forgiveness of sins and do His will. And so the same applies to us today. Even when we're faced with trials and troubles, we need to think about the good things, the forgiveness of sin, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the brethren and sisters we have in Christ to support us, the hope we have of heaven, the assurance we have of going to heaven if we serve God faithfully. These are things that can sustain us. The opportunity we have to go to prayer in God and leave our burdens there. He knows our burdens already. He knows our trials already. But we need to use that access to Him and pray to Him and be thankful for what we have, even though we may be going through some trials and trouble. Now, trials and troubles may come in many ways. They may come from the outside, or they may come from within. Sometimes we may bring the troubles on ourselves. Sometimes, though, there are things from without we have to face. So let's take 10 or 15 minutes and talk about some of these things this morning, and think about the fact that our commitment to God, to serve Him, will be tested in some shape, form, or fashion. Maybe not as intensely as it is in some areas with some people, maybe more so for some people than others, but our faith in God will be tested. So we're told in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 as Christians that we need to be sober. We need to be sober in spirit. Be on the alert. Because he says your adversary, the devil, is what? He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whomever he may devour. So we see that there are troubles out there. There are things that come through people, things that come through temptations, that will cause us troubles and trials if we're not on the alert and be careful, so we can go over them, go around them, avoid them, and do what we can to get through them to the light at the end of the tunnel. Also, we note in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul told the Christians at Ephesus, do not give an opportunity to the devil. Do not give the devil an opportunity. So in our life as Christians, if we want to avoid some trials and troubles, don't give the devil an opportunity. Resist sin. Think on things above. Don't be tempted and give in to the lust of flesh and the pride of life. Don't let our lust give in to sin, because sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So don't give in when trials and troubles come our way. And finally, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian brethren and tells us also, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you're what? So that you'll be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. So this morning, as a Christian, I need to think about my life as you think about your life and what it is that we may go through from day to day. And when we think things are going rough or we see there's trials and troubles, don't give up. Don't hesitate. Keep the faith. Keep serving God. And I want to look at some of the illustrations that those early Christians had to face, some of the examples that some of those people went through, even to death, and see that if they could go and serve God and remain faithful through all that, that surely we can do that also today. So let's talk about some testing from without and from within this morning. First of all, the trials and troubles that come from outside. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Peter and John were arrested. They were arrested, they were withheld, and they were arrested because they were preaching Jesus. They were doing things that were not in agreement with some of the Jews. And so they were put in custody because of their faith and their actions in obeying the gospel and teaching the truth. Peter and John were arrested. Thankfully, I've never been arrested for preaching. Thankfully, if you preach and teach the Word of God, I hope you've never been arrested for teaching and preaching the Word of God. Thankful for the country we live in. But those early Christians, they were actually arrested. Look at Acts chapter 4, and let's look at those three verses. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Let's pause right there for a minute. There are many people in the United States today who are greatly disturbed because you or I would not just preach Jesus or teach Jesus, but that we would live Jesus, and they're coming after us. They're coming after us. They're trying to stop our morals, our morally good thinking. They're trying to stop our morally good actions. They're trying to present the ways of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life against us. They're trying to take the cross of Christ and make it something it's not. They're trying to make Jesus Christ as a man something he was not. And they're trying to take the truth and turn it into a lie. And that is trials and troubles for the Christian. And so we see that these men were arrested for what? Put in custody. They laid hands on them and put in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Well, let's look at the second example. Acts chapter 7, verse 1 through chapter 8 and verse 4. It's very familiar passage there concerning Stephen when he was put to death for doing what? Preaching Jesus, the Son of God. He was before the Sanhedrin Council. He was preaching to the Jews, and he was telling them about their forefathers and about them and their nation. And it came down to this, that he came down to them and pointed that this is Jesus whom you need to serve. This is Jesus whom I serve. Basically, that's what he's telling them. You need to turn to Jesus and follow what your forefathers learned through the prophets and through the law of Moses that was coming. But they became angry when he preached unto them the truth. Acts chapter 7 and verse 1, we see that Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 through verse 4. We see that certainly, I believe I've got the wrong, let's see, Stephen Allred, Acts chapter 7. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. We go to Acts chapter 7 and we see that certainly Stephen was preaching the sermon to the Jews. And let's go down to verse 51. We see that Israel resists the Holy Spirit. They resist the words of Stephen who was preaching the truth. Then verse 54, Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Who were they going up against? They were going up against the man that was preaching to them the truth. He was being persecuted for preaching the truth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, and we read this morning what he did. And so Stephen was stoned to death. And while he was being stoned to death, what did he ask? Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen gave up his life because he preached the gospel. He was persecuted. He was stoned to death because of obeying and teaching the truth. Then we go to Acts chapter 8, and we see that not only was Stephen stoned, but the other brethren, many of the brethren in that area that day, they too were persecuted intensely. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Saul was consenting to this man's death. Great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. The early Christians, when you look at Peter and John and Stephen and the brethren of that day, what were they facing? Intense trials, intense troubles, intense persecutions. Why? Because they were following Christ. Because they were trying to obey the truth. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Turn over there with me, please. And we see another example where these early Christians in the first century were persecuted because of their faith and because of their teaching the Word of God and because they're practicing and doing what God instructed them to do through His Word. James was killed and Peter was arrested. Verse 1 of James, Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Notice that New King James Version, harass, harass. You know, we hear that word a lot in the workplace or maybe in society. Oh, they're harassing me. They're harassing me. A lot of people who yell harassment, they don't even know what harassment is. They have no idea. They have no idea. They just use it as a goal post to say, don't get between these posts with me. I'll file a harassment suit against you. They want to use it just like racist. The word racist has got the point that anything anybody don't like is racist. Well, these people were being harassed because they were preaching the gospel, because they were teaching the truth. They were being confronted. About that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Verse 4. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Three examples we cited this morning. Peter and John arrested. Stephen and the brethren being persecuted. James killed. And Peter arrested. Let's look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. The Apostle Paul was stoned. Stoned for what reason? Because he was teaching the truth. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel? Jews come in, they accuse him. So those that were there, they dragged him out and stoned him, leaving him for dead. Those are some evil people. Who was persecuted? Christians in the early church. Acts chapter 16, verses 20 through 23. Paul and Silas were arrested. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 20. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city." Truthfully, they were not troubling the city. They were just troubling the Jews because the Jews did not want to hear. They had hardened hearts. So they go after the truth teller. Go after the truth teller. Is that familiar to you today? And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Pause a minute. Does that sound familiar today? People teaching customs of social matters, social activities, of private matters, of public matters, of religious matters that are not according to the will of God. It's familiar. They try to come after us in every way they can. But they came after these. They brought them, says, "These men exceedingly trouble our city." Then the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. When they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. So many times today, if you speak up for the truth, or if we're teaching the truth, or we're trying to live the truth, there will be people who will come at us and say, your customs and your teachings and your traditions and your belief do not agree with my lifestyle. So what I want you to do is I want you to drop everything that you're doing in your lifestyle, and I want you to take on my lifestyle, and I want you to live like we want you to live. It's not that they can't do their own thing and live in sin and leave everybody else alone. They want everybody else to do it. We freely preach the truth. The apostles in Christ freely preach the truth. The early Christians freely preach the truth. The truth is optional. We have a choice as human beings. We can obey it and serve God, or we can refuse it and serve the devil. We can serve the devil and lose our soul in hell and live in a quagmire of sin, or we can choose right and serve God and obey Him and be in heaven forever. Brethren, the persecution of the early church, some of the same similarities are going on today. And I told you a couple of weeks ago in one of my lessons, if you haven't listened closer lately, or if you haven't looked around very much lately, or if you haven't observed lately, you need to do so. Because as Christians, we need to be alert. Don't be afraid. Be alert. Stand fast. Follow God. Well, also trials come from within. Financial problems plagued the early Christians. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we know many of those had come in and from about 15 different nations or so, and they were there for the on Pentecost, and the first gospel sermon was preached, and 3,000 souls were saved, and continually from house to house, day to day, they were studying and teaching and following the apostles, and there were those that were being added to the church daily that were being saved. So the gospel was making progress, the truth was making progress, and it happened so that some of them that were there, we don't know if they stayed longer than they should have, they didn't bring enough supplies, but whatever happened was that they had some need. And we see that a need from within. They needed supplies. They needed things to sustain them. So others that were there were willing to help them. And so it may be that today we may have some times, some trying times, when there are other Christians around us who run short on things that they need to sustain them. Or we may be in that case. In that case, then others can help them as individuals. We see that these Christians in verse 44 of Acts chapter 2, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as any had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread with house to house, they all ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Problems from within. Acts chapter 4, 32-37, there was problems from within. Acts chapter 11, 27-30, there was problems for Christians. There was dearth in the land. There were people that had problems. And so other Christians helped them. There's problems from without that can cause people to give up. Don't give up. There may be problems from within that plague us personally or to us from within. Don't give up. Don't give up. Well, problems from within the church. There was corruption in the early church. Sometimes we have people today say, oh, those people over there, they got two or three people that worship there. It's just not living right, so I wouldn't set foot in that building because they have those people that's not living right. Well, it may be that some Christians don't live right. I don't always be right because I'm a human, right? But I have an advocate with the Father. I can repent of my, not in license to sin, but I need to be penitent. I need to be willing to say, Father, I've sinned, forgive me, and then turn from it and try my best not to do it again and feed off the word and go back and have the support of the brethren. But you see, there was corruption in the early church. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, they were bringing their what they sold, and so this Ananias's father told a couple lies with the pretension they were doing this, but really not. And of course, they both were carried out dead. Corruption in the hearts of Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, corruption in the hearts of Christians. Verse 10, Paul said, I would that you would all be of the same mind, the same spirit, and be of one accord. Corruption from within the church because brethren can't get along because of personal differences. We need to lay our personal differences aside and joined together on the truth, the letter of the law, the Word of God, in spirit and truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, we see that certainly, you, after he talked about the division they had, he admonished them to pull together and be of one accord. There was a brother there that was living in adultery. And so that had to be confronted. Corruption from within. Brethren, in the church, we need to realize that sometimes there's troubles and trials and corruption from outside that's going to affect us. Don't give up the faith. Stephen didn't, Peter didn't, John didn't, Paul didn't, Jesus didn't. The early Christians, most of them, didn't, because they knew faith in God and obedience would they be rewarded by the grace of God in heaven if they served faithfully. Don't give up. When problems from within tear at us personally or within the church, problems arise, let's fix the problem. Let the brother or sister fix their problem. Help them to understand that you're living in sin through the Word. Don't point a finger out. A better than thou pointing finger. Teach them with love. Go to your brother with love, in meekness and in tenderness, and rebuke them that way with the Word of God, that they might hear the Word and it penetrate them, that they would turn from their sin and come out of their sin and repent and make it right. To, for what purpose? To save that brother's soul that's in trouble. Don't let troubles and trials from within the church tear us up as individuals or the church. Well, Christians had problems then and now, and I'm fixing to conclude. How do we respond to problems in the church? Well, we do it scripturally. We do it by the book. Division and discrimination in the church at Jerusalem, Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. How'd they fix it? They fixed it through the direction of the apostles. Leadership listened. Those in the church, they were leaders, the apostles and the elders, they listened and they acted on the direction of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we have the direction of the Holy Spirit today. If we got troubles in the church, we need to look at the direction of the Holy Spirit and follow those directions, because they fixed the problem because they listened. And the leaders prioritize the need. What's the need here? What is the problem? Identify the problem. See what the need is. And then make a plan by the Word of God, through faith and through prayer and through earnest study of the Word, and follow the Word. And a plan was shared that involved the commitment and action of the brethren, verses 3 and 4. Churches do that today. We'll see growth instead of division. We'll see people coming in instead of leaving. We'll see souls being saved instead of lost. The congregation responded with action. Verses 5 and 6. Responded with action. That's what we need. That's what we need. And what happened? The Lord's kingdom grew. Well, we sang that song, Troubles and Trials Are Here. Folks, don't give up. From without, keep the faith. If you're here this morning and help you in any way, please come. Always stand. Always stand.
Who will follow Jesus standing for the fire?